Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. Wherever you are joining us from, we are grateful for you to be with us this morning. I have a few announcements before we begin our time of worship this morning. First, I want to let all of you know that our Wednesday night meal will be resuming in a different fashion. We're trying to make sure that we continue to offer food during this time. So if you or someone that you know are in need of a meal on Wednesday nights, we are going to have drive-through meals available here at church starting this Wednesday. The plan is for this week to be peanut butter and jelly sandwiches along with some other items going with that. If you have an allergy to peanut butter and jelly, we will make some accommodations for that. So please don't feel that you can't come. Show up and say, I can't have peanut butter, and we'll figure out a way to make sure we get you something that you can have. Second, I want to say that our church people have been hard at work making masks, and our hope is to be able to give out these masks to our community and those who may need them. So that will be part of our Wednesday night food distribution as well, as giving out masks. If you need one desperately, please call us. I can't guarantee that we'll be giving out masks this Wednesday night, but that soon we will also be including those with our weekly meals. I also want to say that we are doing a Tuesday night Bible study via Zoom. So if you want to learn more about the Gospel of Mark, please feel free to join us. You don't have to be a church member, a church attender, or anything of that nature. You just have to want to learn. If you are interested and you're not on the church email, you would know if you're on the church email because you get all of my obnoxious emails, but please reach out to me and let me know. My email is on our website and my cell is also there, so you can get a hold of me that way. Also, we're looking for more people to help us with worship. Our capabilities are expanding as we figure this thing out one day at a time, and so we want you to help us. We want you to be able to participate in our worship of God. And so if you feel called to record a prayer or record the call to worship or something of that nature, please reach out to myself and I can find a way to get you plugged in. And finally, we're trying to make sure we stay in contact with all of those in our community who are in need. And we recognize that not everyone is technologically gifted, savvy, or has access to technology, and yet we still want them to be able to participate. As such, we've made a couple of things. One, let us know if you know someone that would like to be on our mailing list that gets our weekly distributions via the physical mail. That will help us tremendously. And two, we're going to implement a dial-in system. And I've always been told that I have a face for radio. And so this way, if you don't want to have to look at the pastor or anybody else, you can still call in on that phone number as if it was a radio program and hear church. And so we'll be distributing those that information via our church email and putting it in a couple other places. But if you know someone, they can also call our office to get that information. And our office number is 440-232-3131. And that way they can call in and still listen to church, even if they don't have a computer or an iPad or a phone that allows them to stream our service. Now, at this time, I would invite us to take a deep breath and to prepare ourselves for worship as we listen to our prelude and gather to worship God.
Thank you. God, we find you in the strangest places. You find us when we least expect it. Christ comes to the disciples when they feel their journey is over. Jesus seeks us out when we feel we've lost him. God helps us despite our disbelief and sense of loss. God shows us a new way to celebrate together, even when we feel we've lost sight of him.
Enter our time of prayer. Let us join now in our unison prayer. We need your presence on the long road, Lord, the road between fear and hope, the road between the place where all is lost and the place of resurrection. Like the disciples walking the road to Emmaus, we are in need of your company. Jesus, stand among us in your risen power. And let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. Amen. Now let us utilize music to continue to guide us as we then go into a time of silent prayer. Thank you. Lord, we gather this morning and we lift up to you many things. We lift up our fears and our anxieties. We lift up our friends and our neighbors. We lift up those we do not know who are struggling on the front lines against COVID. We lift up those who struggle in silence and those who struggle out loud. Lord, we lift up ourselves. We lift up our nation. We lift up our world, our communities. We ask that you would be with us, that you would be with those who are missing joyful events because of this time, and that you would be with those who have lost ones during this time. Lord, help us, guide us, and grant wisdom to us and those who lead us, that we may make smart and right and just decisions. Grant the peace which passes all understanding. But also, Lord, come into our midst and reveal to us where you are already at work. May we, as we gather, recognize your presence in our midst this day, just as you were present with us those many years ago and yesterday, and will be present with us tomorrow. And you taught us a great many things, but you also taught us while you were here among us the importance of prayer. So now we pray that prayer which you taught us as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Our lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 13 through 35. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, What are you talking about as you walk along? And they stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place there over the last few days? He said to them, What things? They said to him, The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet, but our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago, but there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women said. They didn't see him. Then Jesus said to them, You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going on ahead, but they urged him, saying, Stay with us. It is nearly evening, and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, Weren't our hearts on fire? When he spoke to us along the road, and when he explained the scriptures for us. They got right up then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, The Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon. Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus was made known to them as he broke the bread. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. One of my passions in life is fishing. And it is not a passion that I came idly by. It was one that was instilled in me by my family, and especially by my maternal grandfather. I remember many trips to Table Rock Lake, which is in southern Missouri, almost Arkansas, as a child every summer. And I remember the importance of fishing in my family. Now, it started out really, really chill. But it was something that was clearly talked about and that all my older cousins were doing, and that when I was old enough, I was sort of just swept up into. But I recall that there was a point in which certain things had to happen for me to take jumps in my knowledge and my abilities as it pertained to fishing. The first time I started fishing, it wasn't with anything fancy at all. In fact, it was probably the least fancy thing one could fish with. It was a bamboo rod. It was probably about 6 feet long, and it probably had about 6 feet of string on it and a hook and a little bobber, and you put a worm on it, and that was all you got. And we would stand on a dock where you could see the fish, just little bluegills, nothing very impressive, swimming around. And so we would stand on this dock and we would put the bamboo pole out, and so your bobber would just sit there and you could watch the fish swim right up to the hook, nibble at the worm, and then take the worm. Line would go taut and you'd go like this. Just lift the rod straight up and bam, there you had a fish. And it felt so easy fishing. But then after that, it got a little more difficult. I got a Zebco reel that was about 3 feet long, one of those little ones. I think it probably had some kind of a design on it of whatever was popular at the time. I don't know if it was Thomas the Tank Engine or something like that. But it had a little, it was one of those ones. It was a closed-faced reel, which was a real insider thing to say. And it had a button, and you push the button and the line would drop and you could actually reel it. You could reel it in. But even then, my fishing was pressing the button, watching it drop, and then doing what I'd already done with the bamboo pole. I didn't really do a whole lot different. Until one day, my grandfather said, you know, you could cast it. And I said, what is casting? And so I was given by my grandfather this big pink thing. And it was called a practice bobber, I think is what they called it. But basically, you put it on your pole and you could cast it and you didn't have to worry about hooking anything. And in fact, it was something I could use up at the house. I could use it in the street. I could use it on the sidewalk, and I could practice my casting all of the time. Most of us never get opportunities to practice our faith, and we never get opportunities to grow in our faith if we don't take them. And if we don't take steps when they present themselves to us. These disciples still think Jesus was only a prophet, even after following him around. They say in the scriptures, that he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. In verse 19. And yet, they don't understand. Jesus taught while he was here, and he explained to them what it meant that he was the Messiah, and yet these disciples still do not understand. And so here on the road, they don't recognize him, and we're not told why they don't recognize him. You know, I don't necessarily even think it's magic. I think part of it, honestly, is the fact that they thought he was dead, so this couldn't be him. You know, there's plenty of stories out there on Twitter and other things of celebrities going to coffee shops and all these different places and saying, you know, being told, you look just like, you know, Tom Morello, and saying like, well, thanks, man. And then the guy in the coffee shop says, and what's your name? And then they say, Tom. And wow, that's a really big coincidence. And like, yeah, it really is. And I think they just thought Jesus was dead. And so they figured, well, You know, even though they've been told that morning he was risen and he was alive, we give Thomas a bad rap. Last week we talked about Thomas and the bad rap that he gets, but here these disciples don't recognize Jesus at all. At least when Jesus shows up to Thomas, Thomas knows it's Christ. He doesn't say like, hey, who's this guy? But they don't even know that it's Jesus. And he gives them an opportunity because he teaches them to witness and to practice. He shows them how an ordinary conversation on a journey could be an extraordinary conversation in life. I think we often miss out on those opportunities to build relationships. And right now, more than ever, we need to be a people of relationship building. We started a pen pal relationship at our house with some neighbors down the street that have young children as well. And it's hilarious because now both of our kids are really into it. Nora likes to make these big cards, and then we kind of answer questions. You know, what's your favorite television show? And for Nora, that's really easy. It's Paw Patrol. Done. That's it. You know, I have to think about it. I can't remember the last time I watched a television show that wasn't a kid's show. So I don't have a ready answer. And then one of the young boy in that house is practicing his writing, and this gives him a great opportunity to practice. And his mom said that he's excited to work on his writing because he has a pen pal to write to. And so we're building a relationship just that has happened. And all of us need to build these relationships. We become so reliant upon gathering on Sunday morning for building our relationships as a church, or the things we always go to for building our relationships as people. And yet, if we don't take time and build relationships now, when they're needed more than ever, what does that say about us? If it's too difficult to have to call somebody or write a letter to somebody or an email or text or set up a FaceTime or all of the things that are available to us to somebody, to sit on our front porch and just say to people walking by, hey, how are you doing? And see if they need a conversation. If we can't do that now, then when will be the time? We have to practice always. This is one of the things that I think we often misunderstand, but we are to practice our faith. We often talk about the practice of faith. And the reality is that that's what most of it is for us. For all of our lives, we are simply practicing. Every opportunity we encounter is an attempt to practice, but it doesn't always mean that we're active in it or that we're doing a great job, but that's why we need the practice. We need to live into the practice of faith. Well, after a while of practicing with that big pink Pepto-Bismol bobber thing, I finally got pretty good at casting, and eventually I moved on up to a 6-foot pole, and I was feeling pretty fancy. But it was still a closed-faced Zebco pole. It wasn't until I was a little bit older and I started going on fishing trips to the Flint Hills of Kansas with my grandfather that, yes, that's right, hills in Kansas. I know, shocking to some of you who are not from Kansas, but there is more to Kansas than flat, open plains. But we would start going on these fishing trips, and so I learned more and more about fishing as I practiced and experienced it more and more. Now I use underhang open face reels. You have to click it open with your non-casting hand, cast it out, and then close it off and reel it all back in. And it's really a lot easier to get it all tangled. But there's more than that. My grandfather taught me a lot of things about fishing. He taught me that perseverance is important. A buddy of his would always go on these fishing trips, and he would get out of the car, walk down to the pond, cast out his line 3 times. If he didn't get a bite, he'd go back to the car, start honking the horn, and say, "There's no fish! Let's go!" But my grandfather says, you gotta have some perseverance when you fish. You can't simply cast your line out 3 times and say, "Fish aren't biting, guess we better pack it up and head somewhere else." Sometimes it takes some walking around, trying different spots to find the fish. Sometimes you may only catch one. But there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you have a good time doing what you're doing and you practice while you're doing it. Because you may have a bad day of fishing, but you can still have a good day with those whom you're with. You may have a bad day of fishing, but you can still have a good day of practice of how to fish. Because the other thing I learned is that as you use better and better equipment, your lures get stuck more and more often. Yes, fascinatingly, the cheapo stuff that you would buy, they come in packs of 20, these little beetle spins and stuff, man, those would never get lost. You know, a fish could attack it, half rip the plastic body off, and you'd still have a lure. But that one that comes in a single pack that costs $5, tree branch, gone, just like that. So I started to learn all kinds of things. I learned how to tie fishing knots. I learned how to restring my poles. I learned how to clean gunk out of the line so it wouldn't gunk up the rest of the line. I learned how to get hooks out of myself. I learned how to take my own fish off. That was a big one for my grandfather and my father and all my uncles, was that I could do it for myself, because until a certain age, I would always do this. Oh, you take it. And I would hand the pole to them. And finally, I think I was probably about, you know, 9 or maybe 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. And finally, my grandfather was like, you do it. If you want to keep fishing, you take it off and put it back in the water. And I learned how to take off fish. I was nervous at first. I think I finned myself a couple of times, but that's part of learning. Now I can do so much. I can tie, I can take hooks out, I can take care of a fish that swallowed a hook. I can help get it out. There are so many things that I can do that I could not do when I first started with that 6-foot-long bamboo pole with 6 feet of fishing line, a bobber, and a worm. But that came with practice and learning from someone else. We all have persons in our lives who teach us things, who strive to be those people in our lives that are great teachers to us. We can teach others certain things, and then they can teach us things. That's part of how we practice, is we learn and we grow. And we see that Christ does this for these disciples. He doesn't simply start yelling at them for what they don't know. He doesn't simply go, you guys don't get it, and disappear. He takes this opportunity on the Emmaus Road to teach them, to instruct them, to help them overcome their lack of knowledge, because he recognizes it's no fault of their own that they have this lack of knowledge. My grandfather didn't belittle me for not knowing how to do things. He lifted me up by showing me how to do those things that I wouldn't have known how to do otherwise. My grandfather taught me through fishing the importance of patience, persistence, and friendship and relationship, and family. Through fishing, I learned so much about my relatives and myself that I would never have learned without those lessons. And those are things that are unintended side benefits, but that come from that time of relationship building. And we are called now to build relationships with our fellows in our neighborhoods, and with our friends, wherever they may be. So take this opportunity to get on that Zoom call. Take this opportunity to FaceTime that person you haven't talked to in too long. Take this opportunity to write a letter to somebody by hand. Become pen pals with somebody on your street. Talk to your neighbor who you don't even know their name. Be a relationship builder. Practice the importance of relationship and building faith. And practice the importance of loving and caring for one another. Be a people who practice learning how to cast your line so that when the time comes, you are ready to go fishing. Amen.
triumphed o'er the grave, and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him, Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways, from pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and grace. His reign shall know no end, and round his peace and feet, fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him, Lord of Rome, behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
As we gather now for our time of offertory, I know that we cannot be together to place our gifts and our offerings up on the altar. But to offer things to God is something we can do no matter where we find ourselves, because offering to God is an attitude. It is a state of our being and a state of our heart and of our souls and our relationships with God. It's not something we must be in a specific room to do, but something we can do no matter where we find ourselves. So today, not only can we give our gifts and our offerings online and drop them off here at church, but we can give our gifts and offerings of ourselves to God. Now, if you want to make financial contributions to church, please do so via our website, or drop them off here in the lock box outside of church, and they'll be collected throughout the week to make sure that they don't just lounge in there. Please, checks only. Don't drop any cash off at church. We want to make sure that we're being safe for everybody's sake. But right now, I want you to take another deep breath like we did at the beginning of worship. And just let everything else go. Just find yourself in tune with God and place yourself, your heart, your mind, your soul before God and say, "Here I am, Lord. Take me, fill me, mold me, use me. Raise me up for your work, and put me to whatever you will." Let us now engage in our service of offertory with a moment or two of silence. Now, let us join in our doxology. And now let us join in our unison prayer. Lord, we place much upon the altar for you, but most of all, we ask that we could place ourselves upon the altar. Help us to be people of generosity. As we gather and strive to live more fully as your disciples, may we allow you to fully enter our hearts and lives. Amen. As we prepare to go back out into our daily lives, and into a world of uncertainty, I thought maybe some of us might have been missing this view. A view of the front and of the whole front of the church. I know it looks sparse and empty, but when we give to the Spirit of God, it doesn't need people in pews. It needs people who are practicing their faith everywhere that they find themselves. And so this morning, as we prepare to end our time of worship together, my challenge and my reassurance to you is both the same. Practice our faith. Practice loving neighbor. And find God everywhere that you are and with every person that you meet. Because God is with us on this road and on every road that will come after this. And whenever we break bread, whenever we gather around a table, or write a letter to someone, or call our family member we haven't talked to in too long, we find as well Christ in our midst. That is the power of God. It is building of relationships in our darkest hour. So will you join with me in our benediction response? And may you all not be weary, but be refreshed by the loving presence of God in each and every one of our hearts. Amen.